Welcome back to the Warren County Radio Bible School. When you hear that bell, I hope it reminds you to go get your Bible. And if you were listening at the last program, you have your Bible marked to Luke chapter 15. And we are studying the parable of the prodigal son. And we left that prodigal son in very bad shape in our last lesson. In Luke chapter 15, verses 15 and 16, beginning in verse 14, it says, "When he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that country, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to one of the citizens of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him." Well, the story is going to make a turn here because that young man is going to make a turn. And we'll be getting into that lesson in just a moment. So be turning your Bibles to Luke chapter 15. And while you're doing so, I'll remind you that the Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond Mountain, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m., and all are welcome to all of our assemblies. I am Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rock Cliff, and the superintendent of this radio Bible school. And I am taking you through Sunday school lessons that were written by E.A. Elam. And this particular Sunday school lesson was written for the Sunday of January 21st, 1923. This is the 197th program of the Warren County Radio Bible School. Now, we left that poor prodigal son with the swine, who fain would have fed on the husk that the swines did eat. Husk were the pods of the carob tree, just a little smaller than our honey locust. The pods do not open. They contain a large quantity of sweet mucilage and are used for feeding cattle and horses and pigs and sometimes as food for the very poorest people. It seems in his extremity of hunger, this prodigal ate this food of the swine, for no man gave unto him, trying to satisfy the soul on the pleasures of sin is like feeding on husk. But this young man came to himself. In Luke chapter 15 and verse 17, "But when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father have bread enough and to spare, and I perish here with hunger." He had been like one delirious or intoxicated, mad and foolish. But he came to himself. That's an interesting expression, isn't it? He came to himself. His senses returned. Starvation stared him in the face. To go further was utter destruction. All this cooled his passions and brought him to his right mind. His reason again asserted itself. And he said, his fathers had many hired servants and had bread enough and to spare, while he was perishing with hunger. Sin entices, fascinates, and infatuates, and worldly honors promise much, but he who feeds on them will certainly die of hunger. All persons must come to themselves sooner or later, or they will never amount to anything here or be saved hereafter. And so the young prodigal son repented. Luke chapter 15 and verse 18. He said, "I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight." In his sober, better judgment, he repented and determined to return to his father. Repentance is a change of purpose which leads to a changed life. 2 Corinthians 7 and verse 10 says, "Godly sorrow worketh repentance unto salvation." This prodigal furnishes a fine illustration of repentance. First, he is honest with himself and his father. He did not conceal the fact that he had done wrong. He determined to confess his sins frankly and freely. He who conceals his sins or refuses to confess them has not repented. A penitent is ashamed of his sins, but he is not ashamed to confess them. These publicans and sinners confess they had wandered away from God and were sinners. They came to Jesus for his love and his blessings and his pardon. David confessed his sins freely. We read in 2 Samuel 12 and verse 13 that David said unto Nathan, "I have sinned against the Lord." And Nathan said unto David, "The Lord hath put away thy sin, and thou shalt not die." We read in 2 Samuel 24 in verse 10, "And David's heart smote him after that he had numbered the people. And David said unto the Lord, I have sinned greatly in that I have done. And now I beseech thee, Lord, take away the iniquity of thy servant, for I have done very foolishly." And in 2 Samuel 24 and verse 17, David spake unto the Lord when he saw the angel that smote the people and said, "Lo, I have sinned, and I have done wickedly. But the sheep, what have they done? Let thy hand, I pray thee, be against me and against my father's house." Those who John baptized confessed their sins, Matthew 3 and verse 6, and many of whom were publicans and harlots had confessed, Matthew 21, 32, and Luke 7, 29 through 30, and we must confess our sins, James 5, 16, and 1 John 1 and verse 9. This prodigal confessed his sins. In Luke chapter 15, 19 and 20, he said, "I will go to my father and say, I'm no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But while he was yet afar off, his father saw him and was moved with compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him." Oh, he confessed that he had sinned first against heaven and then against his father. And so he had. All sin is a violation of God's commandments, and it is sin against him. Like the prodigal, the penitent confesses any wrong he may have done. Let us remember this. Then he never blamed another for his sins. He never even laid them to his own wickedness. He frankly said, "I have sinned." He made no excuse. Another element of repentance is feeling an acknowledgement of unworthiness. "I am no more worthy to be called thy son." But the publican, standing afar off, would not so much as lift his eyes unto heaven, but smote his breast, saying, "God, be thou merciful to me, a sinner." And he went down to his house justified rather than the self-righteous Pharisee, Luke 18, 13 and 14. We read in Psalm 34 and verse 18, "Jehovah is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as are of a contrite spirit." And so we read of the Father's joy. In Luke chapter 15 and verse 21, "And the Son said unto the Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight. I am no more worthy to be called thy son." But the Father said unto his servants, "Bring forth quickly the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring the fatted calf, and I will kill it, and let us eat and make merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." And they begin to be merry. He put his resolution into action and turned away from disobedience and sin and went to his Father. This the sinner must do. In God's house are innumerable blessings, soul food and raiment to wear. In thy presence is fullness of joy, and at thy right hand there are pleasures evermore. Psalm 16 and verse 11. God's love and heaven are great inducements to repentance. While solemn warnings come from the regions of sin and perdition, let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto Jehovah, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Isaiah 55 and verse 7. He went away trusting in himself. He returns distrusting himself, but trusting in the love of his Father. The Father longed and hoped for his return, prayed for his return, watched for his return, that he might forgive him and bless him. And when he saw him coming yet afar off, he ran to meet him, to welcome him, and to receive him. In his gladness, he fell on his neck and kissed him. The idea is that he kissed him again and again. This represents the anxiety and yearning of God's loving heart for the salvation of sinners. And when one repents, God is just and ready to forgive him. We read in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 18 through 21, "And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." And so, the Father said, that means he did not intend for his boy to be as a hired servant. He commands the servants to bring forth quickly the best robe, to strip the boy of his traveled, stained, and ragged garments, and to put the robe on him, put a ring on his hand, and shoes on his feet. The ring and shoes showed that he was a free man, not a hired servant. Slaves went barefooted. Every penitent sinner who returns in loving and humble obedience to God is thus received, and for everyone there is a robe of righteousness. Truly, all who are saved from sin can say, "He hath not dwelt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us after our iniquities." Psalm 103 and verse 10. But then we read in the latter part of this, the story of the eldest son. And so we read in verse 23, after bring forth the fatted calf, it says, "Now the eldest son was in the field, and he came and drew nigh to the house and heard music and dancing. And he called to him one of the servants and inquired what these things might be. And he said unto him, Thy brother is come, and thy father hath killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound. But he was angry and would not go in. And his father came out and entreated him. But he answered and said to his father, Lo, these many years do I serve thee, and I never transgressed a commandment of thine. And yet thou never gavest me a kid, that I might make merry with my friends. But when this thy son came, who had devoured thy living with harlots, thou killest for him the fatted calf. And he said unto him, Son, thou art ever with me, and all that is mine is thine. But it was meet to make merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found." In the next class, we'll read the story of the elder son in this parable. and study that.